The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. Plenty to get to today. I did not sit through the Warriors and Cavaliers last night in real time. Obviously, in this day and age, you can go back and watch the game and see how things work out. I was not surprised by the conclusion. I did know the end result. I was out of screening last night, and I'll get to that in a second, but we'll talk about the Warriors and Cavaliers, and really it's who's the MVP going to be of this series. You could make an argument that it is LeBron James, even though he's down 3-0. You can make the argument it's Steph Curry, even though he's 1 of 11 last night from three-point country. And you could really make an argument it's Kevin Durant. If J.R. Smith doesn't have the boneheaded play in game number one, Kevin Durant probably does not get named as the MVP, if in fact that's the way it goes. Durant screwed up at the end of that game, but Durant last night was really good. Brian Colangelo was fired, resigned, whatever term you want to use. He is no longer with the 76ers as of this morning. The Belmont is this weekend, and we don't have secretariat or affirmed or citation in the field, but we do have potentially a Triple Crown winner in Justify, who's got two down and one to go. Even though this is a mile and a half, that's a long, long ways. We'll have Goody at the Movies later this morning. We'll have a little bit from DeAndre Ayton and Ryan McDonough yesterday. The story yesterday was DeAndre Ayton being in town. Tonight is game number 5 of the Stanley Cup. And if Washington wins at Vegas, we may have Jimmy Vaccaro with us on the Belmont and the Vegas Golden Knights. May have him with us in a bit. The Diamondbacks make a trade, and yesterday they blew a game with both hands squarely around their neck. Some of what is on my mind in the world of sports brought to you by Sagicor. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Guys, you've got to protect what matters most. Look around. Think for a moment. Who are those people that do matter most to you? If something were to happen to you today, would they be protected if you weren't here anymore? It's pretty simple. You log online, you get your free quote, put in the information, do it at Sagicor. We appreciate Sagicor and their support, thanks to Sagicor. I think the story of the day, it was the game last night. Last night, I went to a screening. I went to go see the story of Fred Rogers, a documentary. It's called Won't You Be My Neighbor. We have a little bit of the trailer of it. It's a very pleasant movie to sit through and to see the descriptions, the way that he was portrayed. Was this the real Fred Rogers? Was there any side to him that was kind of a mystery? Bill and I are going to talk further about this. This is one of the best movies that I've seen this year by far. And I was not somebody who grew up on Fred Rogers. I would watch him occasionally over on PBS. But as you can see there, it's the mother and the sister. And there are all these people that talked about Fred Rogers and the impact that he had. You can dive out of that, Edwin. It's good. And so it was terrific to sit and get away from that. When I got back home, I watched the game back. And there's a few thoughts here. It doesn't matter who Cleveland puts out on the floor. They weren't going to win the first three. They may not win the fourth game. It may well be a clean sweep. Golden State, by a long ways, is better than Cleveland. When Jeff Van Gundy opened up the start of this series and was doing the media rounds and said, this is not going to be a series, it's going to be 4-0. Jeff Van Gundy's been dead flat right. Watching this last night, it's not even like Golden State played what I would consider to be the best offense until the final few minutes. More Cleveland can't play defense. If you go back and look at the last about 3 minutes of that game, it's layups. Other than Durant's fall-away nail-in-the-coffin three, it's layups, it's open looks. They just weren't good. Cleveland is not a good defensive team. That's the only way to put it. And so as this game was going down and they come from behind on it, Steph Curry missed his first 9 3-pointers and they end up winning the game and they end up winning it rather easily, in my opinion. And you're never going to have a walkover 40-point victory, very seldom, I should say. But last night was not a surprise to see Golden State get it done. It's just how they went about it. And so the discussion now will be, is this LeBron James' last game in Cleveland? If he loses the next game and it's over and they get swept, if I'm LeBron James, I probably have to look around at what they've done from a supporting cast. Now, Kevin Love's had a good series. But really, have they done all that in Cleveland? It's a minor, it's minor in terms of being remarkable to me that they've even gotten this far. When you consider they had to go through Boston, they went through a pretty difficult road. But now it's no more difficult than what the Warriors had to go through over in the West. If this is in fact LeBron James' last game, Vegas has already put out odds for next year, and they've got the Lakers as one of the teams favored. I mean, they're looking at the Lakers already as a landing spot for LeBron James. LeBron James isn't coming here to Phoenix, so let's just put that off to the side and forget about it. Doesn't matter if James Jones is in the front office. Some of you try to connect those dots. I don't see it. If LeBron James goes to Houston, is he doing anything different than what Kevin Durant is doing being at Golden State? Kevin Durant went to a place where this is really the opportunity for me to show what I'm all about and go win a championship. Well, in reality, Kevin Durant just went to a stacked team. So do I look at Kevin Durant and say, wow, he's really shown what he's all about? It would be more impressive to me because Kevin Durant can opt out too in Golden State. It'd be more impressive to me to see him say, you know what? I'm going to go to Washington. I'm going to go to Philly. I'm going to go to Boston. I'm going to go to some places over in the East that have been close, but they haven't gotten the job done yet. If he stays at Golden State, the Warriors are simply going to win again next year in all likelihood, outside of injury. For LeBron, does he go back to Miami? Does he go to Houston? Does he go to Los Angeles? Both teams in LA are jacked up. Both teams are screwed up. The Lakers are trying to get it figured out with a young core. The Clippers are going through another redo there. And so this will probably, I would be stunned if he comes back to Cleveland. I really would be. And if you're a Suns fan, this is, again, adding DeAndre Ayton. What is that really going to do next year? I wouldn't say it's going to do a whole heck of a lot other than, wow, we've got the potential. Go get me a big free agent that's established, and then we can talk. All right? So there's a few thoughts on last night's game. It's over. It's been over. To me, can Adam Silver step in and say, we've got to change things up? We've got to maneuver things around? They'll never say that publicly. But this is not good for the consumer. Eric, are you bored with this series, by the way? Are you?
Yeah, I'm bored with it.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed because the Cavs had a chance. If they would have somehow figured out a way to win game one, it would have completely changed the tone of the entire series. I think so.
At least be 2-1.
Yeah, but I mean, you win game one, and at the very least you get your split, and then you come back to Cleveland, and instead of being down 0-2, it's 1-1. I really feel this. I was telling my friend this last night. I think the Cavs could play with six players, and I still think the Warriors would beat them. They're that much better.
Well, they're not that much better, but I do think that Golden State is starting to look like an old team. My point on this is, I brought it up earlier this week and just very little, but they keep playing games into June, and other teams are only playing, like the Suns are only playing until April.
But they're not an old team.
They're not an old team in terms of numbers.
The core is not old.
The core is not. It's getting there. Steph Curry's coming to 30. Okay.
Yeah, but he's still got a lot of basketball left. And Andre Iguodala is playing like he's 25.
But he's not healthy, and he got through it last night. I feel like watching them play, they don't look as crisp. Maybe it is the fatigue. We can turn it on, turn it off switch. They don't look as crisp as the first time going around.
And the Warriors,
that's my point.
The Warriors laugh at 32-14 deficits. They
sure
laugh at 60-43 deficits. Because to them, that's three minutes of basketball. They can score so fast.
They can score so fast. And then when you have a coach over there calling timeout, that just gives them time to rest. They don't care. I mean, they can be down 17 and they go hit 2-3 threes. And now all of a sudden they're down 9, timeout. Well, okay, we get to go rest. So it's, I guess what I'm looking at around the NBA, I don't believe that this is good for the league. I don't believe that this is something that, from a ratings standpoint, no matter what the numbers show today, to me, it's just a number. It doesn't mean that this is the way that mass appeal feels about where the direction of the NBA is going. LeBron needs to get out of Cleveland because that feels old. I feel bad for him. I see him out there with Tristan Thompson, and Tristan Thompson, Draymond Green get into it. It's tiresome. Draymond's never going to be thrown out of a game. Doesn't matter what you want. Doesn't matter. The NBA is not going to throw Draymond Green out of a game. He is that guy that you have to have on your team to win championships. You may hate Draymond Green, and some of you are nodding right now. Some of you are screaming at, what do you mean? No, he is Danny Ainge present day. You hate him when he's on the other team. You love him when he's on yours. Is Draymond Green a Hall of Fame basketball player? Look at the number of rings he's had. People hated Rodman. You have to have those guys on your team. You do. And Draymond does so much out on the floor, and he's able to get under guys' skin. If the Boston Celtics had a Draymond Green, if the Philadelphia 76ers had a Draymond Green, they'd probably still be playing. Golden State, they'd still be playing. That's how deep that team is. All right, let's get out of here. On the other side, we'll get into some I need to get to Brian Colangelo at some point. We'll get into some baseball. That's next. Sports360AZ.com. We partnered with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. The Diamondbacks made a trade. They choked yesterday. We'll get into the hometown nine on the other side. All right, let's turn our attention over to the Diamondbacks. They are off today. And I'm going to get into Brian Colangelo in this segment, too, and maybe a little bit about Terrell Owens, some story there today that caught my eye, too. So the baseball team yesterday, there's going to be games during the course of a year that really frustrate and make you angry, especially when a team ends up losing out by a game or so. It's pretty apparent to me the way this season is going that the wild cards are not coming from the National League West like they did last year. If you look at how everything is jammed up, I don't see any possibility as we're sitting here on the 7th of June. Yeah, things could really change, but I think by now you pretty much know your team's okay, your team is not. There's such a logjam in the National League West that it would actually be a shock to me if there were two teams or even one team that came out of this as the wild card. It's going to be the division winner, and that's it. So they had a 4-2 lead yesterday. Bullpen comes in, blows up, goes into extra innings, and they lose the game by a score 5-4 at San Francisco. What was very easily a winnable, attainable game. Boxberger blew it. They choked yesterday. No other way to put it. Bad game. Off today at Colorado tomorrow. But this is one of those that when you look back at the end of the season, if they lose by a game or two games, when people say, well, the season's too long and all these games. No, this is why you play the game. Borrowing the Herm Edwards line. This is it. This is where it comes down to. You can't just give away games like they did yesterday. So they started yesterday a game up on Colorado because they choked. They are now tied for the NL West lead. And I thought it was interesting right after the game, the Diamondbacks make a trade. They go get John Jay, an outfielder with the Royals. Now, John Jay's been around the league for a while. John Jay is hitting over 300, which if you look at the Diamondbacks lineup, there's nobody with a 3 in front of them. When they roll Chris Owings out and put him in right field or left field, wherever they put Chris Owings, John Jay is going to be an immediate upgrade. Chris Owings, from just an average standpoint, has been less than average. He's hitting about half my weight, and I'm overweight, okay? I've got a 3 almost attached to me. That's not good. So they had to go make a deal. They gave up a couple of prospects. They gave up a bag of rocks, essentially. They would get John Jay, who's a professional hitter. Got to get some more offense into this lineup and have to have timely hitting. They've been savaged by injuries. They have been. Souza has done nothing since he's come here, and Pollock has been great, and then he gets hurt. And so you take the two of them out of the lineup. They're not going to be back anytime soon. You can't keep rolling out 230s and 190s and 220s up and down the lineup like the Diamondbacks have been doing. So I very much like what Mike Hazen does. I have yet to look at a deal with Mike Hazen and say, wow, he really screwed this one up. I really do. If you go up and down the line of what they've done, and more than anything, when he went out and got J.D. Martinez last year, it's, I'm going to go for it. And so far, Taylor Buchholz, you tell me, Buchholz has been pretty good. I'll take him in the rotation when I lose Robbie Ray and I don't have Shelby Miller yet. I'm fine with that. So I trust where management is going here. I do. But, man, yesterday was tough. Getting John Jay, stick him in the lineup. Let's see what he can do. I think this is a very good move by the Diamondbacks organization. The other stories in town that caught my eyes, so let's get over to DeAndre Ayton. So yesterday was DeAndre Ayton Day, D-Day as I like to call it. And, you know, the Suns did what they were supposed to do, and that's roll them out on the floor, have them do the workout, come and meet with the media afterwards and say all the right things, rather than just saying, I am Ryan McDonough, and here is our draft pick. We're not going to announce that yet, but I'm just telling you, this is our guy. Let's go work out on the big court. Let's lay down the big court. Let's invite fans to come in. Let's have them watch DeAndre Ayton. Let's get everybody excited about this. Let's hold the press conference out on the plaza. Let's do something, anything, to drum up more excitement, because we have zero here in town. We just do. Jordan Hamm was there yesterday. Jordy does a great job, man about town. And he was there for DeAndre Ayton and his first comments of working out for the Suns in the future.
I want to be the best two-way player coming into the league and, you know, being a shot rim protector and protecting the rim. Like I said from the beginning, that's Shaq and Kobe 2.0. You know, that's big. You know, we could really make something happen in Phoenix. We could really have a spark and, you know, have a winning legacy here, start a winning legacy.
As far as the workout goes, we tried to create as many game situations as we could, you know, using coaches, putting them in different scenarios offensively and defensively. Did a lot of shooting, a lot of finishing, some defensive drills, and he did well in just about every area. I'm watching him at Arizona. He was in a certain role, and, you know, that role was pretty wide-ranging because he is a versatile player, especially at 7-1. He's tremendously versatile and unique. But here, you know, we saw him, you know, finish a lot around the basket. And then we put him out to the mid-range and then out to the NBA 3 offensively. You know, defensively, we put him in some different pick-and-roll coverage situations and saw how he guarded the pick-and-roll and how he moved his feet, you know, in different ways.
I'm the best competitor in this draft. I won't say I'm the best player. I won't say that. But I'm going to say on the competitive level, I am the best competitor. I don't think there's nobody like me. I play my heart on both ends of the floor, and I give it my all. I play hard through the whole season, and I think I deserve to be the number one pick.
Okay, and he's right. By the way, I did groan with my microphone open with Ryan McDonough. Please go over on the scouting end. We got to put him in pick and roll coverages to see what he's doing. We're very happy that he's here. You guys see, he's the total package. I don't have any questions. I don't have any comments. I'm out.
He guarded 6'8 power forwards in the Pac-12 on the perimeter last year. I think he'll be just fine in the pick and roll defense.
I mean, come on. Eric, when I saw this last night on the site, it's fine that Jordan did it. I'm not beating up on Jordan, but...
Like we talked about, Brad, this is what should have happened.
Come on.
DeAndre Ayton arrives in downtown Phoenix. Ryan McDonough walks him downstairs. They go grab a cup of coffee. They go out on the court. Here's our facility. Okay, your workout's done. Now let's go meet the media. The only thing that can come out of one of these pre-draft workouts for a guy like DeAndre Ayton is a torn ACL, and nobody wants that. Like, what more do you need to see?
I would go further than that, though. So, media, please be at the tunnel at 9 a.m. When the limo bus shows up, he's going to get out, and he's going to have his beats on,
yep.
And he's going to come walking out.
Yep, all 7'1", 250 chiseled pounds of him.
We're going to give you 5 minutes to shoot some video of him on the practice court. It might be him stretching. It might be him, you know, picking his nose. I don't know. But we're going to give you 5 minutes. And then we're going to talk afterwards. Instead, it's DeAndre Ayton just saying what is said all the time. And the league cannot just say this is what has to happen.
I don't think so. I don't think the league mandates.
No.
I think that's up to the team.
So, gosh, I'm just sitting here from a pure, simple marketing standpoint. You guys took yesterday. It's the only time he's going to work out.
And the only team he's going to work out
for. It's the only team he's going to work out for. And so you took yesterday.
Which is good news if you want Suns to draft DeAndre.
They've got the first pick. They can't crap the bed that much. But it's the idea that they could have capitalized so much more. The hardcore Joe Sixpack guy knows that DeAndre Ayton was here yesterday. They watch what we do, and they watch what other people do, and they listen and all that stuff. The Suns are so far off the radar, they've got to go after the people that don't even know they exist anymore. the circles that I'm in, maybe because I'm in that parenthood, I'm not 25 with ball cap backwards knowing DeAndre Ayton is here. Those guys are going to buy top of the row seats or want them for free. If you're running a business, you have to go after the CEO. And the CEO is too busy to give a rat's about DeAndre Ayton being here. They're just going to come to our site or others and see video of him walking in. Oh my gosh, there's DeAndre Ayton. Hey, wow, he's wearing that same suit LeBron wore with the shorts and the, you know, whatever that suit was that LeBron wore this last week. It's like step after step with these guys. And so, you know, draft night, hey, come on down. We screwed up so badly, but we're taking DeAndre Ayton and it's all going to be solved. And then next year when they go 28, they win 10 more games or 15 more games, there's going to be the letdown and the disappointment and more anger because fans here just aren't that hardcore. There you go. So that happened. Brian Colangelo was let go. Now, the question about Brian Colangelo, this is not a shock that Brian is no longer with the Philadelphia 76ers. This happened earlier today. This happened over having what they call burner accounts. Brian Colangelo knows basketball. Brian Colangelo was going in a direction that whether it was his wife or not doesn't matter to me. It was his circle. And he had some people out there putting words out for him. It's kind of like when we see people say, here's the best of Ahwatukee. Go to this website and vote. And what happens is people at that restaurant vote over and over and over and over and over. And it's not real. It's not real. Same thing on Twitter and social media. Okay, so this account, I'm going to start doing a burner account on Eric and on Jordan. And it's going to be fine. I'll have good times with it. It's looking at yourself as an insecure person in some regard to me. Yeah, I just referred to Brian as insecure. There's no other way to put it. If he's got to find a way to get his message out, I get it. Family's going to back him to the wall. Family's probably, I'm sure that Jerry today is embarrassed, humiliated, and pissed. But he screwed up. It's not that hard to track down that the Ringer did. It was great. It's pretty well laid out there. And so it doesn't mean that he is out of basketball from my point of view. This is not a deal breaker for him to never be with an NBA team again. Poor choice happens. Move on. Don't say anything going out the door. Not that Brian would. I don't know where this is going to go from a legal standpoint. If it will go from a legal standpoint, I don't know. Very early in the day, I would take Brian Colangelo in my front office if I am running an NBA team. Does that make me bad at what I do? No. I think he's a quality person who made a poor choice. Have you made poor choices? I made poor choices. So let's not just sit here and bury the guy and throw dirt on him and say he's not any good at what he does. It just strikes me that he got into something, or his family got into something to try to have a little bit more control over the narrative or a lot more control in the narrative. And he didn't think he was going to get caught. And he gets fired for it. T.O. is in the news cycle today. And this story is one to really dig our teeth into. We're chasing Terrell Owens to come on the show. And we'll get into this this part of the story after this timeout. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Goody at the movies in about 15 minutes. So Terrell Owens is going to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We are chasing T.O. to come on the show. I think it's going to happen towards the end of this month if it does happen. He is in the news cycle today, and it's a very interesting story as to what he has decided to do. T.O. was voted in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He did not get voted in 2016 or 2017. He is not going to be celebrating his induction with the rest of this year's class. This morning, T.O. releases a statement saying he is not going to go to the ceremony. Not going to be in Canton, Ohio for the festivities surrounding the induction or the enshrinement ceremony itself, which is scheduled for August 4th. He is going to have his own party or his own event. Now, this is one that you look at and say, is he going to charge admission? Is he going to have it in Vegas? Is he going to have it somewhere where people will show up and make a bigger deal? Is he putting the Pro Football Hall of Fame off by doing this. It's the first time that I can recall somebody saying, I am not going to show up for my own induction into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. His quote was, I've already shared this information with the Hall after visiting Canton earlier this year. I came to the realization that I wish to celebrate what will be one of the most memorable days of my life elsewhere. At a later date, I'll announce where and when I will celebrate my induction. Now, Eric, this sounds to me like we're going to see somewhere, probably like Deadspin, a ticket that will have a flyer to the invite to the TO Hall of Fame party at said resort in Las Vegas. That's what it feels like to me. Now, it could be.
That sounds way more fun than Canton, Ohio. No offense to Canton, Ohio, but I'd much rather be in Vegas.
It sounds to me like you could go this route. Let's say that you are a – we had Jimmy on Vaccaro a couple weeks ago about the whole legalization of gambling. He mentioned that the MGM has properties around the country. Somebody like T.O., does he have smart enough people around him that say, let's have a T.O. Hall of Fame party at all of our locations around the country? Could he have it be with some name brand, big brand chain where he shows up at one of them or two of them in a given day? This day and age of private jets, you could go be at five or six of them. Doesn't matter.
I'm seeing dollar signs.
He's seeing dollar signs. I wonder if he's one of those guys that's burned through it. Most of them do when they talk about money. Most of them just show up with a shovel and throw money into a furnace when they say, hey, open a restaurant. Bad idea. Let's open up this and let's do that and put your name on car dealerships. Another bad idea for former athletes. They just burn right through it. The burn rate is not good. So he's not going to show up at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Now, is the Pro Football Hall of Fame in a place where they could say, well, you know what? Because you're not showing up, we are revoking you coming in. This would be a Peter question, a Peter King question, or a Clark Judge question, or many of the Pro Football, Rick Goose Gosling, who we've had on the air through the years. This would be a question for those guys. Could you go back and say, you know what? If you're going to disrespect the Hall that much, that you're going to go do something other than show up in Canton, we'll just revoke your vote. Is this his way of thumbing the nose at guys that said, no, we don't think you're good enough the first two times to get in, and this is his way of getting retribution? Did they give him the rundown of the speakers, much like Kurt Warner? Remember, Kurt spoke last year. And even Kurt told us afterwards it was weird because there was nobody left. Did they not have him in the right order? Is T.O. one of those guys where it's got to be exactly right? If you don't have the right kind of sparkling water, I am not showing up. If you don't have white grapes rather than green grapes, I'm not showing up. I'm not exaggerating this stuff. I've heard that before. I've seen that in a few cases where athletes request something and it's not there, and all of a sudden, poof, they're gone. And it's dumb stuff like the color of grapes. I don't hate on T.O. He's one person that I look at and I admire the fact that he was so polarizing that he just had everybody on the edge. Either they loved him or hated him. That's what's great about sports. It's the same deal with LeBron James, same deal with Kobe Bryant, same deal with T.O. If all you have are nice guys trying to keep their image intact, nothing wrong with that. I don't think you're going to win big. Got to have those sandpaper guys. So this will be a story that in the next, what are we at, 5 weeks, 6 weeks away. And as I said, we're chasing him to come on the show and on the TV show. But this bit of news today will be one that will be talked about and he will be ripped on. And I'm kind of like you, Eric. If he doesn't want to go there and he wants to go have his own deal, it's fine. Brian Urlacher is part of that group. He's right here in Gilbert. Brian's right here in our own backyard. Randy Moss is going in. Ray Lewis is going in. Brian Dawkins is going in. Robert Brazil is going in. Jerry Kramer is going in. The great Bobby Bethard is going in. They're all expected to be part of the ceremony. Maybe it's because he felt that Randy Moss was getting more attention than him. Wide receivers can be divas. I don't know. I'd like to have a little bit more on this. He did go out of his way to thank the 49ers, the Eagles, the Cowboys, the Bills, and the Bengals for the time I was granted with each organization. I'm thankful for the relationships forged and the lessons learned. So basically, he sent a statement out and that was about it. Maybe his handler said, you know, you're so bitter and pissed off about being passed over twice, probably not a good idea to put you on stage. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe it's speaking anxiety. I don't know. But it's a very interesting story that T.O. would pass up on going to his own Hall of Fame induction. Goody at the Movies is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, it is time to turn our attention to Goody at the Movies. Bill Goody-Coons, chief film critic for Gannett, media critic as well. Am I seeing you at Incredibles 2 tonight, by the way, start out with?
I will be there.
Are you going to have a seat that's got duct tape on it and all that? Or because I'll sit by you, taking my 13-year-old.
Sometimes they do that. It's very nice of them when they do that.
It's very nice of them. It's kind of like X marks the spot. Don't sit next to this dude.
Maybe people have complained. Maybe that's...
You are a very loud critic. So
I don't eat loud when I eat popcorn or anything.
No. Okay, so let me start out with Won't You Be My Neighbor, because I went last night and the theater was sobbing, and which I thought was interesting. My wife was getting choked up with a scene towards the end involving an ape. This movie is as good as anything that I've seen this year. I don't know if that's too strong a statement on your part. Where are you at on Won't You Be My Neighbor, the story of Fred Rogers and Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood?
Well, when I say it's not even the best movie I saw this week, that is not to diminish it.
Wow.
because it's really good. I'm hearing from a lot of people that say, oh, I couldn't even get through the trailer without sobbing. And I don't usually look at trailers, but I went back and watched that one. And if you do watch the trailer, which is how a lot of people come to movies, it does seem sort of front-loaded to, like, with all the emotional stuff. And there is emotional stuff. I mean, I don't like to give too much away. The thing that got me, and there's probably something that gets a different thing that gets everybody, you know what I mean, in a movie like this. For me, it was the part where he has and actually sort of allows the audience to participate in, you know, take 1 minute, exactly 60 seconds, and think about somebody who has helped you out in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And that is surprisingly powerful and emotional. And when you do it yourself, you're just like the people in the movie. You're like crying and you think, oh, I don't do this enough. And that's what I'm hearing a lot from people is like, this is a movie we need right now. And I don't know if we ever really need a movie, but if we need one, this is probably as good a one as any to need. I mean, I talked to the filmmaker and he said, you know, he seemed like he's a two-dimensional guy. What's going to, you know, where's the conflict? But he said, you know, what it comes from is he's really who he seemed like he was.
Yes.
I remember when he died, I had to write an obit. And I remember I talked to somebody at Channel 8 because, you know, he would go on these tours like these guys do. And he said the only thing about him was if he could not find a pool in the town he was visiting, he got really mad. So that was kind of an odd little thing.
Well, it's interesting that you put in those terms about the 1 minute and to think about the person. I was really surprised at how much he puts social issues into his show. And I watched his show some as a kid. And even as a parent with my kids, I never really thought that much about it. But when you get into the Kennedy assassination, a owner of a hotel throwing cleaning supplies into a pool because there's African-Americans in the pool. I mean, stuff that you just look at and say, wow, this was really powerful that he would go after it in a way of going through kids.
And doing it the same way he did everything else, just completely straightforward.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the things that struck me about it too, and I think, and this is, as you're a parent, I mean, you know that this is a lot harder than it sounds. A lot of people try it, but it's really hard to do. He treated the kids, he didn't necessarily treat them, he knew they were kids, and he took that into consideration, but he treated them as people. He didn't just treat them as like little, you know, versions of people. He treated them as fully formed people, you know, and I think that can be really effective, but it's also really hard to do.
Well, and I think, Bill, the emotion in the theater has to be that everybody in there that was sobbing around me, that was their childhood. I think it's kind of like I was thinking of Pat McMahon. When Pat McMahon passes away with LADMO, and Wallace and Ladmo. I came in on the end of that, and there was Bozo the Clown. But even in watching this last night, Fred Rogers went after children's television and just how violent it was, how vile it was, and all that stuff. So there's a lot there. This is not just a who Fred Rogers was type of movie. There was more to it, I thought.
In fact, it's not really a who was Fred Rogers movie. You know what I mean? It's not like your typical biography of somebody. It's a lot more about what he did and how he did it than like who he was. You don't actually learn a lot about who he was. I mean, you talk to his wife and his kids. The one thing I wondered is how his kids felt about sort of sharing him with everybody, but they didn't really get into that. To have him be, to sort of share your dad with every other little kid in the world.
Right. No, that's right.
I wondered what that's like.
And one last note on this, Tom Hanks is doing a remake of Fred Rogers, right? That's in the works, I've heard.
That's a tough one, even for him to pull off, I think.
Okay, so let's move over. The best movie of the week, as you said, this was not the best movie. The best movie of the week's got to be Ocean's 8, right? Tongue in cheek. That looks just dreadful. It looks horrid.
It's not dreadful, but it's bizarre. I mean, this movie should have everything going for it. It's got a great cast.
Yep.
It's got
Sandra Bullock.
Pedigree. She's a favorite of yours. I know.
Yes.
There's a pedigree there of these Ocean's movies that goes back to Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra and through Clooney that are, just these sort of breezy good time things. And this movie also has the cultural moment. I mean, it's an all-woman cast just about. But it doesn't do anything with any of that stuff. It's just not any fun. The problem starts with the script. But what you see on screen, the problem starts with your friend Sandra Bullock. And she plays this character so, just nothing. She's unflappable and nothing gets to her. And it's like, man, you'd like for something to get to her because she seems almost asleep. It's like just, we're going to do this. Yeah, we're going to do that. And it's like, God, wake up a little bit. The movie's almost over.
How about Anne Hathaway? I think she's terrific. I like her.
She's great. She's the best. She and James Corden are the two best things in it. And who knew? I didn't even know James Corden's in it.
Oh, that's right.
The last 20 minutes he shows up as an insurance investigator. And he is, you can tell that he's doing a lot of ad-libbing and stuff. But Anne Hathaway plays the sort of not the target of this, but she has to wear these jewels that they're going to go after. And she's great. She's a super self-centered actress, and she's great at it. She's always good, I think. And I don't know why people don't like her. I like her, and she's really good in this.
All right, we have time for Hereditary. How was Hereditary?
That's the best movie of the week.
All right.
And it is scary as all get out. It's not, it's not scary necessarily in that scary way. What it really is disturbing. And if you don't like that kind of thing, then you're just, there's no place in the world far enough to get away from this because it does a really good job of disturbing you. It's about this Toni Collette, who she's got to be considered for an Oscar for this, and which is unusual for a horror movie, not since Jodie Foster, won for Silence of the Lambs. But her mom dies, and she starts to learn a little bit more about her mom than is probably good to know. And then there's all sorts of other tragedies, and she goes a little off the deep end and is willing to try some things that she probably shouldn't try, and it goes poorly for her and for her family. And if you don't like horror movies, for you. But if you like horror movies and just good movies, it's not just horror movie. I think in this case, it's sort of demeaning to say that since it's called that. This is just a really good movie, no matter what you want to call it.
All right. So this is the one to see this week. And stay away from Ocean's 8. And
Mr. Rogers' movie ain't bad either. A doubleheader. And boy, you talk about like your classic doubleheader. I mean, that's like
two ends of the
chocolate
spectrum.
And vanilla. That's
it's pretty good. I'll see you tonight at Incredibles.
I'll do it.
Get there early, for crying out loud. Like 6:58, Bill Goodykoontz time early. 6:59, you're stealth. You get in there and you're gone.
So. I don't have to talk to people.
I know. See you later. Get out of here. There's Goody at the movies. What else? Yeah, and I'll roll on the VC. I'll roll on Washington and Vegas tonight. Triple Crown is on Saturday. And beyond that, we've just got to – I think we're in this period right now where the Diamondbacks, it's the June days. It's kind of like where you go with baseball around August 15th, the dog days of summer. They've already weathered one really bad stretch, and they're still in first place. But you're not really going to know much here as these games get played over the next few weeks. And so I'm not too high on that. It's really DeAndre Ayton. I think DeAndre Ayton, Eric, is where we're going to be here probably for the next 2 weeks because the draft is, what, 14 days away. So
2 weeks from today?
It's 2 weeks from today. So we have two more weeks of will they take DeAndre? Will they screw it up or not?
I don't think they're going to screw it up. I mean, I was happy with what I heard yesterday. He's not doing any more workouts. Sounds like the Suns are pretty set on taking him.
Put the jerseys
Please.
Out on sale.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
If New Orleans, and Alvin got an extension today, which
good
is
him.
Good for Alvin down in New Orleans. But if New Orleans called and said, we'll give you Anthony Davis, I'd have to listen.
Of course. I'd make that trade in a heartbeat.
I would
sure.
have to do, yeah. So I wouldn't say it's a...
And even the Carl Anthony Towns, I would probably trade the top pick for Carl Anthony Towns.
I would not. There's something about him I'm not. Something about him I'm not that big on. I'm more interested in this 16th pick now because, look, if they hit on it, like Donovan Mitchell, Utah hit on it, right? And so when you hit on a pick in the mid-first round, Devin Booker, the Suns, hit on it.
Yep.
And they screwed up all the other picks in front of him. But if you hit on one of these picks late, if this could be the draft that they turn the corner. Could be. Our hometown heroes haven't given me the reason to be optimistic about that. I'm just simply pointing it out.
But instead of looking at guys like Dragan Bender and Marquise Chris, only like hardcore NBA college basketball fans would know, this year we're talking about guys like DeAndre Ayton and Trae Young and Colin Sexton, like players that we've actually heard of and watched and know about.
Okay, so I drafted...
And they're better at their jobs than I am at their jobs, but... If the Suns could get the point guard and get the big and both of those players pan out, and then you have the Josh Jacksons and the Devin Bookers, and then all of a sudden TJ Warren's like, oh, wow, okay, well, maybe they're an 8 seed, maybe.
Do you think that if they take 16 and took Bender, Chris, combination of, that they could get up to 9 and get Trae Young if he's sitting there?
Probably.
And I do, too. Look, I don't think that this is that hard. I really don't. Yeah, I've been sitting here for years, but man, when he signed Tom Gugliotta, it's like, what are you doing? When the Suns draft Bender and Chris are essentially the same position, what is going on here? And they keep touting how great they are at it. You can't screw up the number one pick. You'll take the pick. If it doesn't work out, everybody said you should have taken Ayton. If he's Greg Oden, he's Greg Oden. But at 16, it seems to me that you have more than enough to move up from 16 to 9 or 8. It really does. And as badly as they need a point guard, I'd even consider Josh Jackson as part of that deal. As badly as they need somebody. And I know you guys are going to go, oh, we can't trade this. No, that's not how it works. You can't just fleece everybody. Well, Marquise Chris is a guy who dunks a ball. So what? He fouls out all the time. He's in foul trouble from the minute he gets off the bus. So, anyways, I feel much better now. Edwin Rodriguez, Edwin, chairman of the board today. Got it done, as always. And, of course, Eric is here as well, Jordan Hamm. We have a couple of interns today. Someday we'll put them on the air. Haley is off in Indiana, so we're just having a grand old time. I'm Brad Sussmat. Make sure you have a great Thursday.